Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. Doug Hagmann flying solo tonight right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Blog Talk Radio, great people there, and of course YouTube Live. We've got a tremendous lineup for you tonight. The first segment coming out is going to be my opening monologue. And then during the segments two through four, actually from 7:30. The bottom of this hour to 9 o'clock, we're going to be joined by a very special guest, Ms. Shirin Nashat, who is an Iranian, and she's going to talk about Iran pre and post revolution, among other things, just kind of setting the stage for you there. And then in the third hour, unbelievable, just a tremendous author of a tremendous book. Yes, you know how much I love books. Jake McCandless, Spiritual Prepper. If there is nothing more appropriate to talk about, that's appropriate, let me tell you. With the threat of just total devastation to our South, the state of Florida. And I would urge everyone to pray for those in the path of the hurricane down there. Multiple hurricanes, actually. Hurricane Irma threat. What we're seeing there. And you know, I have to ask myself and consider, of course, you know, could this be, or is this part of God's judgment on America? And one might ask logically, well, I thought we turned the corner. I thought we got a spiritual reprieve. Well, they're not mutually exclusive, such topics. And I've been thinking a lot about this, and I've been talking. In fact, I've been speaking a lot with Steve Quayle, and we've been sharing our thoughts as the one after another, seemingly so, natural disasters line up to take aim and strike at America. You know, if you think back over the years, one may say, well, this is just the natural course of events. Hurricanes happen, bad weather happens, earthquakes happen. I understand that. And I fully appreciate that. However, I think that we're in a different time, everything is different right now. Talk amongst yourselves for just one moment. Hey, John, can you grab me the paper, the documents that are on the top there on the printer? I appreciate that. All right. Notice how I was ill-prepared for sitting down here today. Actually, I just forgot those on the printer, on the studio printer. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. All right. The reason I asked for these is because out of all of the news that we're looking at, out of all of the developing news, and there is so much developing news, one of the most appropriate topics that we can talk about is what Peter Berichalka had written about on the Hagmann Report. If you go to HagmannReport.com, Michael Savage linked to Peter Berichalka's tremendously articulate article titled Study, White Christian Americans Are an Endangered Species. Now, why is this important? In the face of everything that we're looking at, why is this important? A study a 48-page document, by the way, which Peter Barry-Chalka had really done a great job in going and digesting the material and assembling the material and analyzing the material of the findings with his article titled, again, Study White Christian Americans Are an Endangered Species. Just go to HagmanReport.com, click on the top headed, the very top is his article. And the reason I think this is important is as we hear about DACA, DAPA, the Deferred Action Program, it's not even a program, it's an Obama initiated prosecutorial discretion of law in America. It represents, in my view anyway, DACA, DAPA, and what we have seen with what Obama did is essentially cling to lawlessness. Say, you know what, we're not going to follow this law, or I'm going to advise through my executive power, I'm going to advise the law enforcement agencies, federal law enforcement agencies, not to enforce this law, the illegal immigration laws. Now, that's the front end of what all of the media is talking about. When you look at the different media, that's the front part of it. And also part of the front part of this is President Donald Trump saying, wait a minute, we're going to follow the law. This is ultimately what he's saying. We are going to follow the law, and we are going to change, annul, so to speak, Barry Satoru's, Barack Hussein Obama's decision not to enforce the law. And if you remember back at the time, in 2012, June 15th of 2012, which happened to be the 30th anniversary of Plyer v. United States, which was a law or a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court where public schools were to provide free education regardless of immigration status. All of this was orchestrated. You really have to understand the orchestration behind this. But that's part of the front end. The whiplash from this, the response from this, is critical and, in my view, is contained within Peter Barry-Chalka's article, which Michael Savage linked to, by the way, on his front page. And that is this, very simply, and you can read the article, but I do want to point out a couple of important points. And again, this is Mr. Chalka's absolutely fantastic analysis of this 48-page report titled America's Changing Religious Identity. And this is what it's all about. You know how Michael Savage talks about borders, language, and culture. Well, part of our culture is our Judeo-Christian ethic, our Judeo-Christian heritage, our Christianity, the fact that America is a Christian nation. It is a Judeo-Christian nation. Now, there are people out there, intellectuals, the graduates of the lower learning academies, I suppose, who want to say, no, you know, our founders were not Judeo-Christian. Certainly, we're not founded on Christian principles. That, to me, is the Obama dogma or the Satoru dogma. But here's the thing. This affects the immigration, this mass, it's more than immigration, it's an invasion. This mass invasion has diluted our Judeo-Christian population, and we see the collateral damage from it. We see the collateral effects from it. The people that have been brought in, allowed to come in, invited in, and openly embraced, and are walking amongst us, are in part responsible for facilitating the rending of the fabric of our culture, our heritage, and our spiritual beliefs of this country, our spiritual backbone. It's fractured. And that was the intent. If you look at the larger, I believe anyway, the larger aspect, the larger objectives, the big objective of this alien invasion, was it because we want to take, the masses as some sort of philanthropic or savior-like situation? No. No, the intent, in my view, in my personal and professional analysis, is not merely to change the voting demographic from Republican to Democrat. That's very superficial, although that's part of it. I would say that's down, way down on the list. No. In order to take over a country from within, you've got to make certain changes, and some of those changes, a big change, includes fracturing that spirituality of a nation. The belief in God, one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The belief in that God, which Christians recognize as God. Muslims don't recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God. No matter how many times and how many people will tell you that they do, just because they say it, it's not necessarily, it doesn't make it true. So what I'm telling you is, this is bigger than what it appears to be. And you might, against all of the other headlines out there, you might say, well, this doesn't seem as important to me as a hurricane bearing down on this country, or as, select a subject. Well, it is equally important in my estimation, because it weakens the foundation of our country from within. And I quoted from Cicero, 40 BC. And that quote, and I don't have it in front of me, but essentially that quote was, is an enemy at the gate is much less formidable than enemies within. And the alien invasion over the past half a century has let in enemies, overt, obvious enemies, as well as the less overt, the subtle, the whispers in the government hallways, the whispers within the communities, for the takedown of the United States. And why would anyone want to take down the United States, especially when they got people, you know, rushing to get here? Why would the very people who are flooding into the streets of this country want to destroy the very destination? Their destination. It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Well, there's a reason for that. And that reason is very simply this. In order to have, as Zbigniew Brzezinski has talked about, and other pseudo-intellectuals, the globalists, as they've talked about, there is this push for a new or one world order. And in order to achieve that objective, global governance, a part of that is a new or a new religious order or a new spiritual order that does not include the people who believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, who do not believe in the Christian faith or the Judeo-Christian faith for which that this country has been built. So, I said all of that because this is truly Exhibit A. Your Honor, here's Exhibit A. Analyzed by Peter Berichalka, as posted on HagmanReport.com, titled White Christian Americans Are an Endangered Species. This is proof, this is Exhibit A, that we are being deluded from within. This is part of the takedown. To cite from this article, this 48-page report, and to cite from Mr. Chalka writing about this. Among the report's main conclusions, and you can read this, I'm not going to read this, but you can read it for yourself. But only today, right now, only 43% of Americans identify as white and Christian. And only 30% as white and Protestant. Think about that. 43%. In 1976, roughly 8 in 10, or 81% to be precise, 81% of Americans identified as white and identified as Christian, or with a Christian denomination to be precise. And a majority of 55% were Protestants. Now, what happened between 1976 and today? A flood, in addition to a number of other factors, but a flood of individuals from countries who do not adhere to the, or do not have that Judeo-Christian ethic. Non-Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, so many other belief systems. White evangelical Protestants are in decline, along with the white mainline Protestants and white Catholics. Fewer than one in five Americans are white evangelical Protestant, but they accounted for nearly one quarter, 23%, in 2006. If nothing else, I would really recommend that you note the rapid nature of the decline. And I want to thank John. He just handed me the quote from Cicero. And I think it bears repeating. In fact, it bears repeating perhaps every show. A nation can survive its fools and even its ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely. His sly whispers rustling through all of the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims and wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Think about that. You see, that to me is the bigger picture here. And from the executive summary, and thanks to Peter Berichalka for writing the article. In fact, I would never have seen the actual report, and I have the report, portions of it copied, but the actual report. Very quickly, among the major findings, white Christians now account for fewer than half of the public. White evangelical Protestants are in decline, along with the white mainline Protestants and white Catholics. Non-Christian religious groups are growing, but they still represent less than 1 in 10 Americans combined. America's youngest religious groups are all non-Christian. Let me repeat that. America's youngest religious groups are all non-Christians. You've got Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists are all far younger than white Christian groups. At least one-third of the Muslims, 42%. Hindus at 36, Buddhists at 35, are under the age of 30. Now do the math on that. What are we leaving our children? If you think I spent an inordinate amount of time on this, we are talking about not our future necessarily, but the future of our children, what we're leaving our children, the mess we are leaving our children. And I do believe what we're seeing today, the quote resistance. And when I say that word, I think of Keith Olbermann, the hubris of that man. And I think of the resistance by the communists in this country who are atheists, who mock God, mock our spirituality, who use, like Muslims, use our own laws against us. That's the bigger picture here. And I want everyone to understand that this nation is and has been a Judeo-Christian nation, a nation founded upon Judeo-Christian principles. Now, you may say, well, the founding fathers were deists, majority. Look, I understand those arguments. I don't have enough time to refute everything. But if that's what you believe, I do suggest you widen your analysis a little bit. Or perhaps even focus it a little bit more. Because our foundation, from the Mayflower Compact forward, in the central theme of our, whether it be our Constitution, Bill of Rights, the laws that govern this country, are all based upon Judeo-Christian principles. Not Islamic Sharia, not Buddhist principles or Hindu principles, but the ethic, the Judeo-Christian ethic. This is an assault from within. The tools, the methods, some of them, is the alien invasion. Invasion by others who have no intent to assimilate in this country. In fact, just the opposite, to take down this country from within. And what better way to do that than assail our spiritual beliefs? And this is what's happening in America today. Because at the epicenter of all of the problems, whether it is crime, corruption, conspiracy, whether it's murder, mayhem, whether it's by Antifa, RevCom, Black Lives Matter, by any means necessary, regardless of the group, regardless of the methods, the motives, or regardless of who or what, it at the very heart, it's to the objective is to take down our country from within. It's to strip away our beliefs. It's to make sure our children grow up without, you know, hey, we're busy working, so we're going to indoctrinate your children or our children. They're going to indoctrinate our children and grandchildren into this secular, humanist, atheistic, godless doctrine. And from that, we have the immorality, the hedonistic lifestyles that we see today. And the problem is, it's only just begun. So at the heart of all of our problems, it is my personal and professional belief that the assault on our Judeo-Christian ethic is one of the most important goals, whether it's Saul Alinsky, Karl Marx, I mean, you name it. This is the target. And this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing the effects of that today. And that concludes my opening statement. And I want to say again, thank you, Peter Barry Chowka, for your fantastic article. Thank you, Michael Savage, for linking to it. And we're all in this together. We are all in this together, and we all must unite, fight, and to use the hashtag of those operating against us. We all must resist. Coming up, Shirin Nashat. Her story is amazing. Followed by, I gotta tell you, followed by Jake McCandless, spiritual prepper. You're not gonna want to miss either one of these guests. I can't wait. I'm excited for both. Shirin Nashat, a native Iranian. We're gonna be talking about Iran pre and post revolution. What it was like before the Shah was deposed. Who was involved in that? And why? And then, of course, Jake McCandless, we're going to be talking about what's facing us today and what we can do and must do about it. Well, thank you for joining me and the Hagmann Report tonight. Thanks for all who support this program from the bottom of our hearts, whether it's John Robertson, Eric the Tech, Jackie, my wife Renee, Joe, we thank you. Folks, network break. Give us 3 minutes. Gonna be right back. Stay right where you're at.
Visit HagmannReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
Uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable for the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA. Go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagmann. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagmann takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmannandHagmann.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Coming up for the next couple of segments is a very special guest, Ms. Shirin Nashat. She's a co-founder of the United Front of Military and Iranian People. She's an Iranian national living in the United States. We're going to be talking about the current state of the Iranian society under the rule of the mullahs, how it got here. Now, why is this important? Because Iran, of course, is part of the nuclear power axis of evil, informal or formally, regardless. But Shirin Nashat has been living a life in exile. But she knows what Iran was like prior to the Iranian Revolution of 1979. And, you know, I wonder, I know our demographic, our age demographic, our listener and viewer demographic. But if you can humor me for a moment and think back, even if you're younger, if you can think back to pre-1979 Iran, think back before the Iranian hostage crisis. Think back of how Iran was in the early 1970s. Yes, and I'm very familiar with the CIA deposing the Iranian leader in 53. I understand all of that. But Iran was a westernized country at one point. Today, it's not. The horrors of today, the horrors post the Iranian Revolution, cannot be understated in my view. And Shirin Nashat is perhaps the best person to talk about what's going on, how it got there, who facilitated it, and the reasons for that facilitation. Now, I want to issue a warning right off the bat. One thing I noticed in doing the show preparation for tonight, and I would also direct people to an interview on with Kevin Shipp, the Intelligence Hour, Kevin Shipp's Intelligence Hour, dated August 21st of 2017. And again, I want to issue a warning. We have told our listeners and viewers that Silicon Valley, the slithering snakes of Silicon Valley, are playing around. They're censoring us. In fact, we are one of a couple of hundred websites and YouTube channels actually listed, along with Steve Quayle and Shroon News and others, who are the enemies, seriously, the enemies of Google, the enemies of the Silicon Valley titans of trouble. All right. But here's my warning to you. There, what the search algorithms have done, there are two Shirin Nashats. We have the original Shirin Nashat joining us tonight. Now, if you would do a search using Google, for example, you're going to find an almost identical Shirin Nashat, but it's not the same person. The Shirin Nashat we have as our guest today has the website alineshat.org. That's alineshat.org. That's the website. That's her website. And I would urge people, it's in English and Farsi, I believe, but I would urge people to go to that website and check out her articles, all right, and her thoughts, because they are extremely important, her views, and the jewels and gems that are contained within that website. And they deal directly with her musings, and her analysis deal directly with life today versus the westernized version of Iran in the pre-Khomeini revolution, the Iranian revolution, that really was aided by the United States under Carter and the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and all the people in power, as well as the countries of Britain and France. And, of course, the usual suspects. But this lady is going to give us a dose, a taste of real life in Iran and what it was like. And as a matter of fact, she lost a parent to an execution. I can't imagine what she has, all the things that she has gone through. But again, make sure in your searching that you've got the correct Shirin Nashat. And her website is alinashat.org. And I believe, based on my research, that the munging of the two individuals, distinctly different individuals, with distinctly different objectives, is intentional by the slithering snakes of Silicon Valley in order to censor the truth. We are so happy. I'm so happy to have right now with us Shirin Nashat. Shirin, thank you so very much for joining the Hagman Report.
Hi. Thank you very much for inviting me to your wonderful program. And it's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is all of ours, all of mine. And I was speaking with John Robertson, the program director, and Brent Pulaski, and of course, we were talking about your story. You've got such an incredible story. You are such a, first of all, I want to say that she's a wonderful lady, a brave lady, a tenacious lady, a woman who, stands for truth in all respects. And I just really appreciate that in her. So thank you so much for being who you are, and thank you for having the courage to stand up and tell the world who you are and the truth about yourself and Iran, your country, your birthplace, and everything that's happened. I just, again, thank you so very much for that.
It's a pleasure. And thank you again once more. Thank you to you and Brent and John for inviting me to your program. I am Shirin Nashat, daughter of General Ali Nashat, commander of Imperial Guard of His Majesty, the Shah of Iran. Well, as you know, during the revolution, they have executed my father and a lot of the family, and we ran away from the country.
Okay. Yeah, let's, if you don't mind, let's talk about, if we can do it this way. Let's talk about your life as you were just sort of starting to, pre-revolution, and what life, first of all, what life was like in Iran before the Iranian Revolution of 1979, what your experiences were. Let's start there, and let's just go ahead, and I'm going to turn the floor over to you. I won't interrupt, and just take it from here.
Yes. Iran was one of the very best countries in the world. And we had a lot of freedom in Iran, especially the women. And I finished my education, some of them in Iran, some of them in the United States. I was the special secretary for His Majesty, the Shah of Iran, and only woman started working there. And after that, I have transferred to Her Majesty's office as the special secretary. And revolution happened. Iran, you couldn't compare Iran with even European countries because we had a lot of freedom in that country. We were very safe. It was a very modern country. And we enjoyed living there. But first of all, Doug, let me thank American people. They opened their arms for the people like us, like me. And we are living in this country, fortunately, and we have our freedom. And Iran was a very modernized country. Iran had whatever you name it. And it was great country. It was great country. I don't say they were, there was no problem, as you see, in all other countries in the world. The people have problems with the government. But we really didn't have that much that we hear from the present regime in Iran.
Right.
And all the religions were living beside each other. They had respect for each other. There was no problem at all. And all kind of human beings were living together beside each other in peace, which is very important when you are living in a country.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Everything was going perfectly for the normal people like us, you know. As I said, there was some problems, but not really that much that it brings the revolution in our country. The main thing for me and what happened to Iran is that was not Iranian people, Persian people, to do this revolution. That was other countries were helping this revolution to happen. Because as you know, His Majesty wanted to raise the price of the oil. And because he was thinking about his people, and Iran is very, very rich country. And that was one of the reasons for the revolution, that the foreign countries decided to do that in Iran. And as you know, when His Majesty was there, we had peace in Iran, we had peace in Middle East, and we had peace in whole world.
Right.
And we were one of the top, we had one of the top armies and air force in that country.
Okay. You very modern, very modernized.
Very modern, yes.
Okay.
Very modern, and well, unfortunately, we lost them. We lost them. Why we lost them? It was the price of oil, in my opinion.
Okay.
Which, that happened. But I am 100% sure that was not Iranian or Persian people to do this revolution. There was foreign countries that they helped to have a revolution in that country.
And Sharin, I love your analysis on this. I mean, here, and folks, our guest is Sharin Nashat. Her website, alinashat.org. And I was reading from your website. In fact, there's a section on articles and my thoughts, and it just really it really tugged at my heartstrings. But the what we saw, and then when I'm just, and you can respond to this, because when I witnessed back in the late 70s, 1979, of course, February, the beginning of the revolution, or the invasion. And then the resurgence of the Ayatollah Khomeini into your country. This was not a spontaneous, in my view anyway, this was not a spontaneous uprising as people would want, or as the globalists would want people to think it was. This was a planned, orchestrated takeover of Iran, of your country, right?
Exactly. Okay. Yes, you're absolutely right, which if you have seen the first interview from Khomeini, which I'm not going to have respect for him, and I'm not going to call him Ayatollah at all.
Okay.
Because Ayatollah in our language is somebody that he has sent by God.
Oh.
I call him Omen. He is not an Ayatollah for Iranians. He's an Omen. And this regime is Omen. This regime has been forced in our country with these omens, like Khomeini, Khamenei, and Rafsanjani, or any other of them. It was by force in that country. They haven't been selected from people. And the problem, as you know, is, okay, when they have to go for voting, these are all shows. Because if these people don't go for voting, they are not allowed to use the universities, the schools, or get the coupons for the oil or other things for the winter or anything like that. And they can't do anything without having that stamp in their ID card. This is the problem when people are going for the voting. It's not something that they like any of these mullahs. They are forced to be present in the voting areas and give the votes. Otherwise, they can't do anything, nothing in that country. Because whatever they want to do, they are first going to check their ID cards. And they are checking if they have that stamp in their ID cards or no. That is one of the problems.
Wow.
Don't okay. think that the Persian people are satisfied with this regime. No, they are not. If they don't vote, if they don't have not, it's not matter of the vote, it's matter of that stamp that in voting place, they are going to give to their IDs. That stamp is important for them to live in that country. Otherwise, if they don't vote or something, they say they are against this regime and they get to a terrible problem.
Mm. Okay. Now, before we get too far down this road, if I may, because we do have a lot of time, you and I together, and we've got a lot of listener and viewer interest in this. Before we get too far down, let me just ask: were you and your family in Iran? During the 1979 hostile takeover, or had you left Iran prior to that, you yourself? And then I know some family members you still have there, or had there, but were you there to experience and witness firsthand the revolution itself in 79?
In 79, yes, somehow, yes. In 79, I went before Khomeini goes to Iran. I went to Paris because some of my siblings were living in Paris. And one night I was watching the news and I heard my father is in jail and there is a court for him. And we came back to Iran with my mother. Unfortunately, after probably a month and a half, they have executed my father. I tried to go to the jail and see him. We were not allowed. And the night of execution, I was very nervous. I was hearing the bullets, shotings, and I had, it's like your sixth sense. I had a bad dream and I drove to the jail that my father was there. and I was just crying and driving around the jail, and I was breathing, and I was feeling his soul is going inside of me. That's very hard to feel that, but it was very painful. And when I got back home, my mom was very worried, and she said, your aunt asked me to be at her place at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, why 5 o'clock in the morning? She said, she wants us there immediately. What happened? My cousins and my family heard my father was executed on Wednesday, April 10th, and they didn't want us. When we wake up, we see in the newspapers or in the news, we hear that my father was executed. Anyway, we went there, and I found out that happened to my dad.
My word.
Well, do you know, Doug, it's my father was a soldier, and the family of the soldiers, they know. Sometimes that will happen to them.
Sure.
And we are always ready for that. But it was very, very painful. It was unacceptable. But that happened, but our head was always up, and we were proud of him. When they wanted to close his eyes and execute him, he refused to be executed with closed eyes. And he was a true soldier.
Sharon, just to make sure our listeners and viewers understand the context, the position, your father in the government of the Shah's government would be equivalent to a cabinet level position here in the United States, I suppose. He was.
It's much higher than that.
Okay.
He was the person. He could walk to His Majesty's bedroom with his gun.
Wow.
And you know, usually nobody can do that except the few very, very close people to Majesty.
Right. So, I mean, he was one of the top members of the Shah's cabinet. And,
yes, he was the Shah's military. He was the commander of Imperial Guard of the Shah.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And that does add context. And so people understand that, our guest father, very, very high up, very close to, the Shah. And of course had a position of trust. And then the takeover happened and her father was executed. And I want every Christian, I want every person, every listener and viewer to put themselves in Shirin Nashat's position. My goodness, that had to be so horrific for you and your family. What a terrifying time. And
it was. Oh. It was. And especially I used to work for Her Majesty's office, and there was no jobs anymore. And I was turned because I was 21 years old, something like that, 21, 22 years old. And I had the responsibility of taking care of 3-4 family members, which they were not working. One was my mother, one was my little son, he was an infant, and my brother and my sister, you know. And wherever I was going to try find a job, even some people were helping me, and they were calling me with false names, just to stay at work. Unfortunately, these criminal government was finding me, and they were asking them to fire me. All the bank accounts were closed. They got all of our belongings. It's like you go for 2 days on a trip. When you come back, you don't have anything. Nothing.
Wow.
And even you don't have permission to work.
You talk about, you know, a complete and utter change. From one minute to the next, everything, your life is turned upside down.
Very much so. Very much so. But, do you know, I believe you are always alive for a reason.
Yes.
And God is watching you.
Yes.
And, well, thank God we came out from that country, which is controlled with the terrorist regime in Iran by force. And we are living in exile. We try to learn the language. We went to school. We had a lot of opportunities. I know we lost my father, but he was a soldier.
Sharin, I hate to do this to you. Hold that thought. We're up against the network break. We're going to pick up right where we left off. It's a 3-minute break. Just hang on to that. We are so blessed to have with us Sharin Neshat. Folks, her website is alineshat.org. We're going to be right back with more from our guests. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove, in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.